sometimes people put an ad in the paper and it doesn't come out like I think they mean it to come out. Some of these are also advertising ads in papers, you know, so let me just read you a couple. Here's the first one. Illiterate, write today for help. Now is your chance to have your ears pierced and get an extra pair to take home. We will oil your sewing machine and adjust tension in your home for $1. That's a good deal. Wanted, man to take care of cow that does not smoke or drink. You know, those cows that drink are hard to take care of. Dog for sale. We'll eat anything, especially fond of children. Here's the last one. For sale. Antique desk. Suitable for lady with thick legs and large drawers. All right, turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we're going to begin a series today on refuge. And we're going to talk about refuge. And you may think, well, how are you going to spend a few weeks on this? It's going to be easy. This is something that the Lord is going to deeply implant in our hearts over the next few weeks. Psalm chapter 46. Everyone there? Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Anyone ever experienced any trouble? Therefore, we will not fear. Listen, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, there's a worship song that uses these two verses. And I can remember even a few years ago singing this worship song and thinking, we got that part where I'm not going to fear even though the earth be removed and the mountains cast into the sea. And I remember singing this worship song probably 4 or 5 years ago and thinking, I will not fear even though the earth is removed. And I remember thinking, you know, I might be a little anxious though. I mean, I don't know about this song, but it's in the Bible. But what David is saying is, because God is my refuge and my strength, even if the mountains start jumping into the ocean and the world starts dissolving, it's not going to bother me because God is my refuge and God is my strength. And in essence, even if the world begins to dissolve, it doesn't matter because God's going to build another one. It's okay for those of us who know God. So David must have known something about the word refuge. The word refuge means a high, safe place. A high, safe place. There are synonyms for the word refuge. It's in Psalms, the book of Psalms, 24 times alone. The synonyms are habitation, rock, strength, shield, fortress, tower. In other words, a place where you go when you need to get safe, when you need to feel secure, and when you need to, when someone is attacking you, where do you go? What do? How do you get there? David is declaring the high place in my life, the place I prioritize, the number one place that I go to with all anxiety, all fear, all worry, all stress, is God. God is my refuge. And then he makes this statement, a very present help in trouble. Now, he could have just said, he is a help in trouble. But he adds these two words, present and very. He is not only a help, he is a present help. And he's not only a present help, he is a very present help in trouble. In other words, God is so present, he's inside us. I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you believe that? In the indwelling Holy Spirit. That he dwells, he lives, he resides in us. God is so present, he's inside of you. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but everywhere you go, your insides go with you. My liver is very present with me everywhere I go. My kidneys, my wife's kidneys are very present. You know, I just got back from vacation, so a woman's kidneys are very present with her. About every 2 hours, you know, everywhere you go, they're there. So my insides are with me wherever I go. So wherever I go, wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, if I get a phone call from the doctor, no matter what's happening, God is a very present help in trouble. That's what David is saying. Now, a couple of things about refuge. First of all, we all need a refuge. Did you agree with that? Second of all, we all have a refuge. Now, if I asked you today, the name of the message is blank is my refuge. And you're going to fill in the blank, but not yet. Don't fill it in yet, all right? And if you're new, there are sermon notes in the bulletin. And my hope is that you will write down things that the Lord speaks to you during the message, and you'll take it home and study on it and meditate it during the week so that the Lord can implant these truths in our lives. Blank is my refuge. Now, because you're good church folk, and you never lie, if I were to ask you who is your refuge, you would all say God. But if I gave you truth serum and said whom or what is your refuge, we might get some answers like this. Food is my refuge. Twinkies are a very present help in trouble. Money is my refuge and my strength. Visa is a very present help in trouble. Are you following me? See, there is always something competing to be first place in our lives, competing to be our refuge, our safe place, where we go when we get bad news, where we go when we're tired, where we go when we're stressed, where we go when we're not feeling well. There's always something competing. Let me give you a few others. Entertainment can be a refuge. Sports. Shopping. And I feel depressed and I just need to buy something, a new pair of shoes, anything, even if it's small, if I can just get something new, it'll make me feel better. Self-indulgence, self-exaltation, self-promotion, busyness is a lot of people's refuge. Things come in, I just need to get busy. It'll take my mind off of it. Busyness is my refuge and my strength. People. Relationships, tobacco, alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs, fantasy, denial, immorality, sexual immorality. There are a lot of people who have an area of sexual immorality in their life that when they get stressed out, they fall in that area. That's their refuge. That is their area where they get some relief. It's the first place I turn. How do you find out what your refuge is? First place you turn. It's your priority. It's what you talk about. It's what you have friends around. You develop friends around your refuge. Friends that like to be physically strong, or friends that like to party, or friends that like to make money. And whatever your refuge is, you busy yourself. If money is your refuge, you busy yourself learning about it, studying about it, working for it, planning for it, preparing for it, saving it, spending it. Talking about it, whatever your refuge is, that's the way we are. Our refuge is what we protect and defend, although we could quit at any time. That's our refuge. Our refuge is what relieves our stress. Our refuge is what we get excited about. You know, like saying, we're going to go to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. All right. And then afterwards, we're going to go out to eat. All right. You found out what we were most excited about. Children have refuges. And then it's okay. It's okay. Because, see, God created us to need a refuge. And when you're a young child, you don't know. And so these young children, they have refuge. For instance, how many of you, maybe your children had a refuge of a blankie? You know, it wasn't a blanket. It was a blankie, you know, like Linus. Or a pacifier, you know. Or I'd say another refuge for children, mama's leg. I mean, you watch. You meet a new family, and you say, hey, how are you? And you kind of bend down to talk to them. You doing okay? And they get around behind mama's leg, you know. That's their refuge. Our oldest son, Josh, who's in Florida, his was his pacifier, but we didn't call it that. I don't know why. He invented the name of it from hearing us, but we called it Pappy Fire. Just Pappy Fire, you know. We had to have Pappy Fire everywhere we went. And we started telling them, when you're 3 years old, you won't need a Pappy Fire anymore. You know, they believe it, you know, so you tell them so. And when you're 3 years old, you'll be a big boy, you won't need a Pappy Fire anymore. And so, you know, Josh started believing that. We started tell him about 6 months before his birthday. He'd tell people, you know, when I'm three, I'll be a big boy, I won't need a pacifier. He'd just went around telling people that. But about 1 month before he turned three, it began to dawn on me, he's going to have to give it up. Well, he got to losing them, and in the last month, we were buying and buying and buying these pacifiers, you know. Well, that birthday, he gives it up, goes to bed that night without one. We go in the next morning, he's got a pacifier. And what we realized was, he was hiding them. He was storing them. This is a smart kid here. And for months, he'd just show up in the pack. I'd left out a pappy fire, so, you know, I just found it. When we moved, we found pappy fires all over that house. We lost the pappy fire one time in a Chinese restaurant. I'll never forget. And the whole family, we're all looking, you know, under the table, everywhere, if it, behind plants and all. The staff comes over, the waiters, the waitresses, the manager, the hostess, the owner, they're all. And, you know, one of them said, you know, what are we looking for? And without thinking, I said, a pappy fire. Well, that was his refuge. What's your refuge? Well, here's what I want to talk about today. The results of choosing a wrong refuge. All right? I want to give you three results of choosing a wrong refuge. And the first one is distance. When we choose a wrong refuge, it creates a distance between God and us. And let me explain to you why. How many of you remember the first commandment? What's the first commandment? Tell me. You shall have no other gods before me. Let's expound on that some. How about this? You shall not turn to anyone else first. You shall not have any other refuges before me. You shall not put your trust in anyone other than me. You shall not have another god. You shall have no other gods before me. No other refuges. And when we do that, when we turn to someone else or something else first, it's idolatry. Now, if I had started the message by saying, how many of you are idolaters? Probably wouldn't have gotten many raised hands. But listen carefully. When you turn to something other than God for relief, it's idolatry. Now, I'm not saying that God, there are good things in this world that can be fine and they can be enjoyed. That's okay. Food is a good thing. It can be enjoyed. Sports, entertainment, they can be enjoyed. But they cannot be our refuge. They cannot be where we get our strength. And God never leaves us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But there is a distance between God and us when we begin to look to someone else. And here's the reason why. Here's God. Here I am. And what I say is, hey, I've got a problem. I'm going to put something in front of you. I'm going to look to something first before I look to you. So the distance that is between God and me is not created by God. It's created by me. And it's not a space distance. It's like if a husband and wife have an argument, and they can be in the same room, but there's a distance between. And I'm going to give you an extreme analogy, but it's important if you understand this. If my wife and I are in the car, and this is an extreme analogy, I know, but I want you to understand what sin does to the heart of God. If Debbie and I are in the car, and I look at another woman in the wrong way, if I were to do something like that, do you think it would hurt her? Do you think it would grieve her? Do you think it would crush her? Absolutely. That's what happens because we're married to God when we look to someone else. It's not that God gets angry at us. It's that he's hurt. He's crushed. He's grieved. And he doesn't leave us. I mean, Debbie doesn't get out of the car, depending on how fast we're going, you know. She doesn't leave, but she's hurt. And there's a distance. When we choose a refuge other than God, there's a distance between God and us. Here's the second one. The second one is disappointment. When you choose a wrong refuge, you're going to be disappointed. You know why? Because it can't help. It cannot help. Satan is a masquerader. He's a deceiver. He comes and says, listen, come here. Here's a good door. Come over here through this door. This door will provide some relief. This door will help you. Here's the answer to your problem. And when we go through that door, it becomes a prison instead. And we immediately get disappointed. Our excitement about trying to get our needs met turns to disappointment. Disappointment turns to discouragement, disillusionment, hopelessness. Our hope turns to hopelessness. The hopeless person is the person who's been going to the wrong refuge for years. Let me say it another way. A person who's dealing with depression is a person who's been going to the wrong refuge for years. depressed people are going to the wrong refuge. And what you need to understand is they can't help. There is absolutely no way that the wrong refuge can help. And Satan is such a master at deceiving us. Let me just show you scripture. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15 says that no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself, changes himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Satan and his demons transform themselves, make themselves look like light and righteousness, make themselves look like good, but they're not. You know why? Because they pretend to be, and listen to me carefully what I'm about to tell you, Satan pretends to be the Holy Spirit. He's the evil spirit. He pretends to be. Listen, this will help you tremendously. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit was the comforter. And when we get bad news, when someone does us wrong, when we're going through difficult times, do you know who shows up and pretends to be the comforter? Satan does. He's the one that masquerades as an angel of light. And he comes to us and tries to cover us. Oh, come on in here. And you know what he said? He said, they shouldn't have done that to you. They shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have treated you. Think of all the things you've done to you. And you over and over and over and over in your mind until he gets you in bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and hate and envy and jealousy and malice. And he just begins to get you to open up to all this stuff. That's what he does. And let me explain something to you. God's the only one who can comfort you. He's the only one who can comfort you. If you call a friend on the phone, and that's okay, because we need the body of Christ. I'm not saying don't call friends and don't have relationships. We need relationships. But if you call a friend on the phone when you're going through a difficult time, and afterwards you feel encouraged and comforted, guess what? It was God who comforted you through that person. He's the only one. And let me show you the scripture. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of... how much comfort? All comfort. The God of all comfort. Now notice how many times the word comfort's in this next verse. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. How much of our tribulation will God comfort us in? All our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Is that kind of clear who comforts us? And why he comforts us? So that we can comfort others in any trouble. We can comfort those in any trouble because God comforts us in all tribulation, in all trouble. He's the only one that we can turn to for comfort. Disappointment comes from turning to the wrong refuge. Let me give you a definition, a different definition of hopelessness. Hopelessness is losing confidence in your refuge. That's what hopelessness is. Hopelessness is losing confidence in what you put trust in. And you're totally shattered. You're totally blown away. Jesus called it the deceitfulness of riches. See, riches promises everything that only God can give. Riches says, I can give you happiness, I can give you comfort, I can give you identity, I can give you security. Riches says, come over here. And when you get there, you find out that they deceived you. That's why he called it the deceitfulness of riches. And then we're disappointed, then we're discouraged, and then hopelessness sets in. And here's the third thing, destruction. The third result of choosing a wrong refuge is destruction. Please understand, when I begin to go to someone or something other than God, destruction is at the end. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. The end is destruction. If I look to food to meet my needs, I'm going into destruction. If I look to money, I'm going to be destroyed. I'm going to have to work for it, chase it, learn about it, do everything I can, and the end is destruction. It's a prison. It is a prison. Now, let me give you a couple of personal illustrations. When I was growing up, when I was young, I was very skinny. Very skinny. You know, when kids run around on the playground and play, and you get tired, so you go over to a shade tree to cool off, I could cool off in the shade of the flagpole. And I remember in PE, you wore those flattering uniforms, you know? I remember in PE, this guy came and said, hey, man, there's a string hanging off. Oh, I'm sorry, that's your leg. Well, I was just very skinny growing up. I mean, that's just the way it was. And when Debbie and I got married, I weighed 145 pounds. 6'2", same as I am now, 145 pounds. So let me tell you something else about this. I ate like a pig. I ate all the time. I drank protein drinks, you know, growing up, trying to gain weight. Did everything I could to gain weight. They're finally kicking in. 20 years of late reaction on those things, you know. But here's the thing. Other people would talk about their weight, and they'd say, I need to lose weight. Listen to me. And I'd think, well, that's easy. Just stop eating. Hear me. We are always self-righteous. We have the tendency to be self-righteous in the areas where it appears we have victory. See, it appeared that I had victory in that area, but I ate like a pig. I ate worse than the other people trying to lose weight. But then, as I got older, something happened. My metabolism slowed down a little bit, and now I'm proud to tell you I can gain weight if I want to. I have that ability. I can smell Twinkies and gain weight, you know. And my metabolism not only went down, my stress went up. And as my stress level went up, food became my friend. It became a very present help in trouble. Sometimes when you have food in your hand, you're not hungry. You're hurting. And it becomes a refuge, and it does provide temporary relief. I Oreos are of God. I mean, they do provide temporary relief, and they talk to you too. You ever heard Oreo talk? Oreo say, "Did he have a bad day? If you did." But the more I get relief from a wrong refuge, the more bondage I go in. And you know, if food is your refuge, it's hard to give up food when food's your refuge. It's hard to give up nicotine when nicotine's your refuge. And let me tell you something about drugs too, by the way. Physical addiction's never the problem. Most drugs will be out of your body in 5 days. It's not physical addiction, it's the way you think about it. It's the way you think about that thing. It's your refuge. And we've got all sorts of drugs today. Nicotine is the number one drug in America. Most addicting, it's the most important, it's not the number one, it's the most addicting drug. You know what the number one drug is, don't you? Caffeine. I can see some of you like. Caffeine. Just go a few days without it. See if it's not a drug. You know, pull up to the drive-thru. I need a large caffeine, please. Quickly. Now, I know that some of you feel powerless today. Because we're talking about some sensitive issues. We're talking about personal issues in our life. And I know some of you are thinking, listen, I've tried. I see now I'm turning to something other than God. But I've tried to quit. I've tried, I can't get, and you feel power. Let me tell you why. Psalm 46 says, God is my refuge and strength. Strength only comes from God. The reason that we feel powerless when we're going to another refuge is because that is the very nature of a wrong refuge. It cannot provide strength. It cannot provide deliverance. It cannot provide help. It is deceitful. It tells us that it does, but it doesn't. And anytime we're going to a wrong refuge, that's exactly what's going to happen. Our mind cannot be our refuge. Food cannot be our refuge. Money cannot. And let me tell you something about when our mind is our refuge. When we begin to turn to our thoughts and try to figure it out and figure it out and figure it out, let me tell you what happens. If we don't go to God first, this is what can happen. We'll begin to wake up in the middle of the night and think about it. It's constantly there. Why? Because we've got to go to God and leave it. We go to God and we leave it. And we wake up and we're like, here's another thing. We dream about it. You ever dream about, you know? I mean, you're mad at people? You're just mad at people. And you know, you go to sleep and dream and commit 4 or 5 murders and, you know, and wake up. And then you wake up thinking about it. Or how about this? You ever awaken in a cold sweat? Have you ever awakened with fear all over you, and you felt like Satan himself was in your bedroom, demons in your room, and you're fearful, unbelievably fearful? It's possible, if you're having demonic, fearful dreams, it's possible that you're not going to God first as your refuge. It's possible. You say, okay, all right, I got that. And what do I do now? Well, let me tell you something about God. All right? God loves you even when you're going to the wrong refuge. God loves you when you're overeating and overspending. God loves you when you're turning to alcohol to meet your needs rather than Him. God loves you no matter what you do, what you're doing or what you have done. God loves you and wants to set you free. Well, how do you get free? It's very simple. Two things. Number one, you're going to have to renounce it. Whatever it is, you're going to have to renounce it as idolatry. You can't just call it a weakness anymore. You're going to have to announce it as sin in your life and that it is an idol. You have set it before God and you renounce it as idolatry in your life. Lord, I renounce this. I renounce food as an idol in my life. I renounce money as an idol in my life. I renounce shopping. I renounce entertainment. I renounce drugs, prescription drugs, as a refuge in my life. So number one, you renounce it. Number two, you're going to have to declare that God is your refuge. And it's not just a one-time thing. That's why David did it 24 times in the book of Psalms. It's tomorrow also, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And this is what David did in Psalm 46, and this is what is such a key. David declares, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Renounce it and declare the Lord is your refuge.